So second is practicing in the perfection of the ethical discipline. So the nature of ethical discipline is restraining oneself from indulging in negative actions such as harming other sentient beings. In such a kind of mind, if we train further and get accustomed to it, then of course that same the ethical discipline within us will one day become the perfection of ethical discipline. So the perfection of ethical discipline is categorized into three: ethical discipline of restraint, ethical discipline of collecting virtues, and ethical discipline of engaging in beneficial works for other sentient beings. So as for the first ethical discipline of restraint, in the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment by Adisha, it is written that the vows of Bodhisattva can be taken only by a person who is the basis for taking the seven individual liberation vows or the Pratimoksha vows. So even though in the text it is stated in this way, but in fact, in reality, it may not be necessary, as we see the vows of Bodhisattva even in the realms of the hell and the realms of animal and so on. So here the basis for vows of Bodhisattva being said to be the person who is the basis for other individual liberation vow is considered taken into account from the perspective of a supreme basis for taking the Bodhisattva vows. Someone who has the one of the seven individual liberation vows, so having such a vow, if one practice further the vows and the precepts of the Bodhisattva, then of course the quality of the practice will be pure and can progress further. Once having a set of those individual liberation vows, a person has to be restraining himself or herself from indulging in 10 negative actions. So having such a kind of ethical discipline as a foundation, it is very helpful to develop the vows of Bodhisattva further, which will add on to the current vows that we have. So even though we all sentient beings are same in terms of suffering from different ailments and the problems, but depending upon how we tackle it, how we take those sufferings, it makes a big difference to different individuals. For a minor problems that comes to us, always if we consider that as a part of our karmic results, and of course sometimes it brings more problem to you. And also thinking about, or rather it's more important to think about it as a nature of being born in this samsaric world, and thinking about the general and the individual or the particular sufferings of the samsara in general, and also the different realms in particular. So if we contemplate in this way, and there we will be it will be easier for the people to digest or take into accept or to accept the suffering that comes to us. So it helps us to lessen the effect of those sufferings if we are able to think in this way. And also, if we are able to contemplate and think that, may whatever the suffering that befall on me this time, may this be a cause that all the sufferings that will be coming in the next and the subsequent lives be eliminated by the power of the suffering. So second category, the ethical discipline of gathering virtues, is someone who has the ethical discipline of the bodhisattva vows and having practiced further in order to get the different virtues. And relying upon one's spiritual master, it is also said that taking oneself as one's master is a supreme practice. So if we are able to look for and if we can find a spiritual master who can give us the relevant teachings, of course, that is the best place at the first. But even though we may be in a different place or a location or an environment where there is no possibility of finding a spiritual master, then as the Lord Buddha says, one can consider oneself as one spiritual master. And think about the negative effects of indulgence in the negativities. And the fifth Dalai Lama has composed different extensive texts in terms of the Gelugpa tradition, the sacred words of Manjushri, and in terms of Nyingma tradition, of course, there are many texts composed based on the great completion stage of Dzogchen. In terms of Paramita studies, there is Lobsang Gongen, the ornaments of the meaning of the great texts. I also memorize the part within that text when my tutor makes some remark, take some note out of those texts, and I memorize a part of the presentation of our own system existing in those texts. So in short, Fifth Dalai Lama's text has a combination of different literatures and which covers different subjects. And in terms of his personal life, he is a very simple monk. In one of his life stories that we can find, Chichang Rinpoche used to tell me, and I also happened to read that text which was a handwritten. On a personal level, he's a very simple monk. In that life story, I found that on a personal level, he was a very simple monk, not taking into consideration of feeling himself proud being the king of Tibet. And if someone call him on the roads, then he won't answer to them. So even when they asked him for two times, he won't reply to them. And when he asked for third time, then he will reply in a simple note. And when asked him to bring something, then he will tell them that you have kept it somewhere, I'm not aware of it. So this all signifies and indicates the very simplicity of his personal life. So maybe there is a guru and disciple relationship, maybe during one of the teachings, or maybe during one of the classes. An incense was lighted in his bedroom. Maybe it was Peiting or Tadarang, were one of them too. So one of them doesn't like the smell of the incense. So he smelled the incense, so then he immediately says that, how can you light such bad smoke inside the bedroom of His Holiness? And immediately pour water on it. So they all stay in a very friendly way, even though His Holiness the Fifth Dalai Lama is the king of Tibet. But on a personal level, he is very friendly in terms of his normal friends. The 13th Dalai Lama was also similar to the 5th Dalai Lama. In the Kaesang, the palace, it was during the construction of that palace. In the... I think it is broken now. He was very strong against the usage of the addiction substances. And once he was going on a tour to the construction area, he happened to see behind the some people, some workers, and they were using those addictive substances. And when they're tired, they take they say when they're hungry, if they take that substances, it helps them. And when they are hungry, it also helps them. And when they are tired, it also helps them. So, and then they were telling against the 13th Dalai Lama. He said, this is such a good substance for us. But then if 13th Dalai Lama is against it, so when 13th Dalai Lama heard it, he simply ran away from them without telling anything to them. So this is a kind of a story, but it is a fact actually. There is a monk from Namgyal Monastery, and his father was from Markham, an eastern part of Tibet. Maybe some of the senior monks, you know his name is Bagil. So his father is in early 80s, he's very healthy. And his father told me that the 13th Dalai Lama, while the construction for the palace was going on, some of the merchant people sponsor or offer some stones for construction. And the father also came with some horses. And one of his horse went another way, and from the other side there was a kind of Mongolian who was walking with one of his sticks, and he called to the father called to the monk and told to stop the horse was running away from them. Later he came to know that it was the 13th Dalai Lama. So he told them, teacher, please stop the horse. So it was actually 13th Dalai Lama, and 13th Dalai Lama was running after the horse and trying to stop the horse from running away. So this is very similar to the general lifestyle of 5th Dalai Lama. So today I felt a will to tell these stories. So from on a personal level, of course, they are very simple and a kind-hearted monk. But having the responsibility of the Dalai Lama and as the king of Tibet, of course, they were very strong and strict against many practices. And Genyima also told me that His Holiness was the 13th Dalai Lama was very kind and has a special relationship with the geshes coming from great learning centers. So the third category of ethical discipline, engaging in beneficial works for sentient beings, is what we can see in the practice of the great being bodhisattvas, who always engage towards benefiting other sentient beings. And helping to those needy ones, and also being rendering service to the person who are in need of medical attention, and also who cannot walk properly, and they to help them to bring to a place where they can, or giving them horses to ride on.
Charge of a charge of
So those the first place is helping to those who are suffering from different ailments, and second is by giving the teachings of the Dharma, trying to bring those sentient beings who are going towards the wrong way and trying to show them the right way to practice Dharma. And also to help those persons who are in danger of being devoured or eaten by the wild animals. So Gombawa and Dromtemba, among them too, the Gombawa used to be the cook of Adisha. So they have no dal to cook, since they have no dal at that time. So maybe he should be making some tea for Adisha. So one day, Gombawa says that I've been in service of Adisha. And there is no opportunity and time for me to contemplate or meditate. And Domtemba heart him saying such things and say that I have also I've been working for Adisha for so long by interpreting for him and helping him so many times that there is no time for me to also practice. So they both say those words at the same time. So immediately after that, they say, even though there is no opportunity for them to practice being in service all the time, but with those service being rented towards and one's master, they say that there is no other greater practice than being in service of one's master. And Gombawa afterwards say that he felt very relieved and happy that there is no other, when he came to know that there is no other greater service than to be service of his one's mother. And there was one man, he was under depression, and there is nothing that I can do for him. And I hugged him, and I told him that I also have a lot of problems. So, but if you feel more depressed due to your problems, then the problems won't go away, or it will be cleared off. But from the other side, if you find the source of inspiration to calm down, then it will help you. Then I told them these words. This is very important. When some poor people, when they undergo a lot of sufferings and are depressed, and of course, we have to go to them and tell them that we are also under such problems and depression and share their sufferings and share their problems. In this way, we can help them. Considering ourselves without any problems or sufferings and to give some advice, it won't be much benefit to them. So we have to go with them and tell them that we are also same in terms of suffering. So in this way, it will be of much benefit to the other party. So the ethical discipline of serving sentient beings also includes giving them the appropriate food to eat, giving clothes to wear, and those who are highly attached to their personal belongings try to give them teaching of the impermanence nature of the things. It is stated that if the disciple is very attached to his worldly belongings, then there is a way to give the teaching through showing the impermanence or the ugly part of those belongings. So counting all these ways to benefit the other sentient beings, there are 11 of them. So in to summary, it is said that those who are not practicing the ethical discipline or who are not disciplined for themselves, there is no way that they will be of empowered to help any other sentient beings. Therefore, it is very important in order to benefit others. First, we ourselves have to be disciplined. Therefore, the ethical discipline is praised as the foundation, as the root of all the benefits. So have we already... Oh, the tea is yet to come? So maybe you can visualize this. There is tea and you can take it. So yesterday, as we speak about that there is the medicine which will make us never ill, and food that which will make us never hungry. Next is the intermediate verses, the concluding verses. When we human beings are in the garden of this human rebirth, which has the leisures and advantages, once we have such an opportunity of a human rebirth, with a human rebirth with leisures and advantages, we have to make use of this opportunity with the practice, with the self-discipline, with the ethical discipline as the foundation. And we have to work towards the attainment of the nirvana. Third perfection is the perfection of patience. As it is stated in the engaging in the deeds of Bodhisattva, that if you have a leather on your foot, and if you walk with the space with all thorns, then you can avoid yourself from getting hurt. So this is the essence of the teaching. So without concentrating and without having the practice of this patience, as it is stated in the engaging in the deeds of Bodhisattva, which makes us all suffer. Even though a certain kind of patience will be present in all the sentient beings and different individuals, but the perfection of the patience can be attained if we practice the patience towards the numberless sentient beings, irrespective of whether someone is one's friend or not. And once we are accustomed to, once we are trained, and our mind of patience is accustomed to the practice of that patience, and gradually we will be able to actualize the perfection of patience. Shantideva stated that by a mere instant of anger, it will clear or eliminate all the benefits that we have accumulated for the thousands of eons, including the merits generated by giving and so on. And also Chandakriti, in the supplement to the Fundamental of Wisdom, stated that if a normal person gets angered towards a high bodhisattva, then the merits accumulated by him for 100 eons, including the merits of giving and maintaining ethical discipline, will be eliminated in a moment. So therefore, it is stated that there is no other negative karma which is more severe than the intolerance. It will be, for a normal person, it will be very easy for someone like us to get anger and to get anger towards anyone. But for someone like a normal person, it will be very difficult to see a bodhisattva. And that which is presented very extensively in Lamrim Chimu, the great treatise on the path to enlightenment, has been summarized in the engaging in the Disa Bodhisattva by Shantideva, where he says that since we ourselves being under the influence of the afflicted emotions, we tend to kill ourselves. And as we also see that, since we are under, sometimes under the influence of anger, we tend to hit our own head to the walls and also use different weapons to ourselves, resulting in one's own death. Which shows very clearly that the afflicted emotion is the force behind which drives us to do all these things. Other than that, when we look at the other sentient beings to whom we wanted to inflict harm, if the other person by nature, if he is an object of doing harm, then it has to be something similar to the heat of a fire, as the heat is the nature of the fire, that we cannot take the heat apart from fire. So similarly, that other persons cannot be taken away from his short-tempered nature, so which is not true. And if the short-temper or the anger is something which happened temporarily or which happened without cause, then of course it has to be something like the cloud in the sky. And we cannot be angered towards the sun that it is not shining now since there is cloud, because we know that the cloud is a temporary nature, temporary obscuration to see the clear sky. And once the temporary obscuration is cleared, we will be able to see the clear sky. Similarly, the afflicted emotions within a person which drives one to become angry towards someone else is also a temporary forces which will go away one day. And it is also stated in the engaging in the deeds of the Bodhisattva that I have inflicted a lot of harm to the other sentient beings in my previous thousands of lives, due to which at this life and the coming lives I will be suffering from the result, the ripening result of those karmic actions. As Zabedur Rinpoche says that no one likes when we say something harsh words, and if we use harsh words, or if we praise someone, then they like, but if we use harsh words or criticize them, no one appreciates that. So this is a fact, and if we contemplate further, whatever that we consider something precious or something good in our ordinary world, if we are able to utilize such kind of factors that we find in our ordinary life in order to benefit ourselves, so even though we stay amidst a society where there is suffering and ailment and criticism inflicted upon you from all sides, so even though you stay in such a pool of different factors, but there is a possibility that you could maintain a peace of mind for yourself. We can see evidently that even if someone has to be a scholar in a great learning center like this, so first, from the first time that he entered the classes, so maybe when he first entered the monastic institution, there may be the less chances of him being more hatred towards other or more proud. But as the time goes on, and he get a fame that he is good in the debate, and he happens to have some students, and being a teacher's name, so then the pride comes. And maybe he becomes more jealous towards other people. And of course, the expectations arise within himself or herself. We can see the same situation in different villages, even in the normal human society also. We can say that those who just do their own responsibility and do not have much expectation, we see them more peaceful and calm. Those who have more expectations and those who have some fame, then we see that they are more into trouble. Once we gain some fame due to our services to others and so on, then some other people used to get jealous towards me. And in order to reply to that, sometimes we tend to become more angry and more jealous toward that person, which in turn bring us to harm. It is also stated in the engaging of the deeds in the Bodhisattva, deeds of the Bodhisattva, that even though you may have a good feeling towards your enemies, but it won't make any difference to that person. So even that person may have a harm, may have a bad feeling towards you, but it won't make any difference to you. So if we think in such terms that if other person bring more harm to me, then you may be in a pool of those sufferings and pain, and that I may not be able to take all this suffering, then we have to think in such a way that is there any solution to those sufferings and those pains which is within you. And it is stated in the engaging of the deeds of the Bodhisattva that if there is a solution or if there is anything that you can rectify, then there is no reason and no reason why you should be unhappy towards it. So these are the qualities of the suffering presented in the engaging in the deeds of Bodhisattva by Shantideva. The another beneficial qualities of the suffering is that if there, as stated earlier, if there is a mean to cure those sufferings, then there is no reason why we should be unhappy and why we should be suffering. If there is no way to cure or rectify, then there is no purpose or no reason why we should be unhappy. And of course, it is the suffering that is suffering due to which we feel renounced to this samsaric world. And having renounced to this samsaric world, we will be able to attain liberation from this samsara, which is the ultimate attainment called moksha. During the meditative session, we have to contemplate and think in such way. And also in between the meditative sessions, also we have to concentrate upon the importance of being abiding by the ethical discipline. And also accepting the suffering that comes to us as a nature of our human rebirth. And also that in this human society, there will be a lot of criticism and praise that will be towards you, but that you have to accept it all as a nature. And ultimately, it is also stated in the engaging of the deeds of Bodhisattva that there is no phenomena that won't be easy to gain once we are accustomed to it. Next is the intermediate verses. So, gracing for tea. The fourth category is perfection of joyous effort. Joyous effort is said to be something aspiring for virtuous action. And the joyous effort can be categorized under three. The first one being armor-like effort, then effort of accumulating virtuous factor, and effort of serving other sentient beings. In the ornament of the collection of the sutras by Arya Maitreya, the joyous effort is praised as a supreme among all the virtues. And it is said that with the joyous effort or the perseverance, we will be able to attain the highest attainments. And through that, we will be able to also actualize different mystical attainments, which is beyond the normal world. So in short, all the benefits of this world and beyond this world and all depend upon the joint effort. So first, we have to, in order to gain such a kind of joyous effort, the first category of the armor-like effort is to think from the perspective of as it is present in the Guru Puja, that even for the sake of a single sentient being suffering in the hell realm, may I be able to take their suffering or be benefit to them. And even if I have to stay in that state for even for hundreds and eons of years, I have the joyous effort to be of such service to them. And as we have seen earlier during the first perfection of giving, that even giving a small food or edible to birds or any other animals, we need the collection of pure considerations and motivations. And we have to make effort towards being accustomed to such practice of generosity and not to develop a low self-esteem that I may not be able to do such a thing. And whatever the virtues based on the practice of generosity and so on, everything has to come from the practice of joyous effort. So during the actual meditative session, we have to think about the kindness of the triple gems and how to take the countermeasure against the three poisons of afflicted emotions. So in such a kind of a focus, we should work hard to maintain the same mental state for the whole session. So in this way, it will be a little bit hard during the first sessions to maintain such a joyous effort. But as one gets used to such effort, then we will feel the encouragement and the inspiration from continuing such meditative sessions. And one of the main obstacles for generating such enjoyous effort is the procrastination and also the low self-esteem. And it is also stated in the engaging of the deeds of the bodhisattvas that due to the laziness of procrastination, we tend to rely on such laziness and not able to accomplish our deeds and practices on time. In order to develop an attitude to the laziness of procrastination, we have to think that since having such a human rebirth, having such a leisure and advantageous human rebirth, and also the rarity nature of this human rebirth, that I may be not able to find such a human rebirth in hundreds of thousands of years to come. And this has also happened even just once in those lifetimes. So once we have such an opportunity, if I do not practice, then there won't be any moment left in the future lives to come for me to practice. So having meditated in such a way, the object to be attained, which is the ultimate triple gem of the Buddha, is someone who is free of all the obscurations and all the faults. And if one feels self-discouragement, feeling that such a kind of attainment will be very difficult to attain, then in the engaging in the Disa Bodhisattva, Shantideva says that one should never feel discouraged by thinking that such a great attainment I cannot attain. The Lord Buddha himself has taught us that this is something that we can attain, and his words are true. And even the insects or the bees which flock to the flowers and the eatable things, even though these bees and small insects, even if they feel courage or even if they put effort, they will be also able to attain the ultimate realization of enlightenment. And the means to actualize the ultimate attainment is to make the differentiate between what is benefits and what is not benefit, and what are the harmful actions and what are the non-harmful actions. So if one engages in the actions having understood the differentiations of this, then of course the great enlightenment won't be far away from one's attainment. So the fifth perfection on the concentration, we will first give it for a while and move to the Southern Lineage Lamrim. The Southern Lineage Lamrim, the book with Pearl Garland, if you happen to have the new and revised edition, the page number is 232. Having generated the spirit of supreme enlightenment, how to train in the practice of the concurrent sense. How to train in the six perfections to ripen your mind stream. The perfection of generosity is consummate familiarization with the thought to give everything to others, belongings and virtue, along with the results of giving wholeheartedly and without stinginess. The guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life says, the thought to give all beings, all belongings, along with the results, is thought to be the perfection of generosity. Page number 233. Regarding practicing the perfection of generosity, the Master Sharava said, I am not describing the benefits of giving. I am explaining the drawbacks of retaining. It is not suitable for monastics to give material goods occur after considerable effort and fatigue, for it hinders their three activities, learning, reflection, and meditation. Hence, they should chiefly give dharma. Nevertheless, they should give whatever they acquire effortlessly and spontaneously without attachment. However, it is primarily lay bodhisattvas who are to give material goods. Having carefully examined in general, in particular, the way to practice giving according to the base, you should reject the following thoughts. So if you happen to have the previous edition, the Pearl Garland and Anthology of Lamrim, the book which was distributed last year, it is on page number 200. So if you have the new and the revised edition, which was distributed this year, it's on 233. The commenting of perfection says, when a beggar actually approaches the Bodhisattva to enhance his collections for complete enlightenment, identify his possessions as belonging to others, and look upon him as a spiritual master. You must effectively practice the three kinds of generosity as much as possible. In this regard, through your incalculable practices of generosity and offerings, formerly you have taken incalculable rebirths as well-wishing monarchs, Brahma, and so on. Nevertheless, since all of these were disassociated from the spirit of enlightenment, they only constitute causes of samsara. Henceforth, I will ensure that, starting with the gift of single morsel of food to a lone being, are imbued with the spirit of enlightenment. We're on page number 234. So His Holiness has already read the portion on the perfection of ethical discipline. Next is on the perfection of patience, the guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life, which says unruly beings are a space. I cannot possibly defeat them all. If I could only defeat my anger, I will have defeated all foes. To cover the earth's surface, where could I ever find enough leather? But with the leather of just the soles of my shoes, I will to have covered the surface of the earth. The perfection of patience is defined as gradual increasing familiarization with suppressing anger towards sentient beings until it is complete. Shantideva states, the generosity, homage to the Sukhadas and the like, that you have acquired over 1,000 aeons, whatever good deeds you may have done, will be destroyed by a moment's anger. Page number 235. In particular, entering the middle way says, since anger towards a conqueror's son in an instant destroys the virtue accumulated over 100 aeons by giving an ethics, there is no greater sin than anger. Thus it is taught that feeling anger is a very serious sin. Shantideva continues, whoever strives and defeats anger find happiness now and hereafter. Overcoming anger will not only free you of temporary mental and physical suffering, it will also cause happiness in all lives. Therefore, make a special point of meditating on patience. Moreover, if anger were an intrinsic part of a sentient being's nature, then it would be like fire being hot and burning. If it is a contingent event, then just as it is not suitable to be angry with the sky when clouds obscure the sun, it is the weapon like a club that is directly responsible for your pain and indirectly the anger that incited its use. What has the person actually done? If you want to feel angry with the underlying causes of your injury, as the guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life says, in the past I have inflicted similar injury on sentient beings. Thus, as an abuser of beings, it is fitting that I experience this harm. So, His Holiness also read the part on the perfection of enthusiasm. So we move to the swift path. How to train in the path having generated the mind of enlightenment. So the main category here is how to training in the path of the Bodhisattva in generally, and how to train in the two later perfections in particular. So first, how to train during the meditative session, and how to train in between the sessions. The first has three: the preliminary practice, the actual practice, and the concluding practice. So the preliminary practice is supplicating the Lord Buddha and one's master, who we can consider as the embodiment of all the Buddhas and all the refuge. And then, may I be able to train in the practices of the great Bodhisattva beings as they practice, and may all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas bless me in order to make me repent or make me possible to follow those practices. And in the actual one, the first is the practice of the six perfections in order to ripen one's own mental continuum, and the practice of four gatherings in order to ripen others' mental continuum. So the first one, as it reads, it states that first, having meditated, one's guru, who is none other than the Buddha himself, meditating our guru on our head, and contemplate in this way, that may I be able to attain enlightenment in order to benefit the numberless sentient beings, and that too, may I be able to quickly attain the Buddhahood. And in order to attain the Buddhahood, and may I not go under the influence of the praise and the fame of the worldly affairs, and may I be able to give the teachings to all the sentient beings that are in need of the Buddha's teachings. And even though I may not be a great teacher who possess all the qualities to give teaching to others, but may I be able to explain a few words and the sentences that are written by other people. And when I find the other people to whom I can give teachings, may I also be able to give teachings in a very casual manner, even by talking and discussions. So this is regarding the first giving of, which is known as the giving of teaching. The second is the giving of fearlessness. The giving of fearlessness is in order to protect the other sentient beings from the fear of the kings, the fierce kings or the robbers and bandits, and also protecting or liberating animals who are in the danger of being eaten by the wild other predators, and to help to save the animals who are in danger of being killed. The third is the giving of the material possessions. So here it is stated that one needs to have a kind of motivation which does not expect anything in return for one's giving of material possessions. And the practice of giving is considered as the main antidote against the stinginess or miserliness. So here completes the first perfection of giving. The second is the practice of the ethical discipline. So we have to meditate in the same manner as before meditating one's vajra-guru on one's hat, and may be able to attain enlightenment in order to benefit the maximum number of sentient beings. And in order to benefit them, may I be able to abide by the my vows and precepts, which requires me to refrain myself from indulgence in the 10 negative actions. And also pray that may all the sentient beings who have not generated such a kind of mind, of such a kind of altruistic mind, may they be able to develop that mind. And those who have developed such a kind of mind progress further. And may the root guru of Vajradhara be the source and the cause and bless me in order to actualize that. The third is the practice of patience. So in the same manner as before, we have to meditate in such a way that even all the sentient beings become one's enemy, but may I be strong enough not to develop even a moment of anger towards all any of these sentient beings. As it is stated in the engaging of the deeds of the bodhisattvas, that if a person who is to be killed is being freed with just his hand cut, he will be very happy that even though his hand is cut and there is a suffering and pain, suffering in terms of a great pain, but he will be very happy that he is not killed. Similarly, those of us who are to be reborn in the hell realm and undergo a lot of suffering, and if that suffering has been just ripened on our human rebirth in the just form of some ailments and suffering, then why not we all become very happy? And the second and the next is and the practice in the perfection of the joyous effort. So the first practices are same as other preparations, and it is stated in engaging in the deeds of bodhisattva that once we are able to generate the mind of bodhicitta, then from there onwards, we will be moving further towards the attainments and progress, and there won't be any person who won't be satisfied or happy with such attainments. Whatever the accumulations that we gathered, even a small virtuous action, it all comes or happened due to the sentient beings. And in this way, we have to meditate that the sentient beings are the source of all the practice. So here in the sweep, but it seems to have a different section. In the sacred words of Manjushri, they have it is presented in the special inside part. The fifth one is practice of concentration. Having meditated in the same manner, the nature of concentration is the concentration as the basis of all the attainments. The concentration pertaining to being service of other. And we pray that may we be able to generate such a kind of concentration that will be that will help us to become more benefit towards other sentient beings. Next is the wisdom. So having completed the six perfections, so the next step is how to train in the practice of the four gatherings in order to ripen other person's mental continuum. It is stated in the ornaments of the collection of the sutra that first, with the giving the material possessions to other sentient beings and take them into your companions or the friends, and after that, you give them teaching. So the first of the four gatherings is speaking in a very soft manner. So here, the speaking in a very soft voice means giving teachings which are appropriate to the disciples. So after that is how to train in the two perfections in particular that we will read later. So we will stop here for today. So tomorrow and after tomorrow for 2 days. So these three texts will be completed. And maybe also in addition to that, we also finish the essence of nectar, the Lamrim text. So Shamar's Lamrim, we will start and try to finish as much as possible. And the liberation of the palm, liberation in the palm of hand is also not possible to find. So next year we will find a time and continue the same.